Hello, Sunshine. This is Dr. Stacey Ann C. Grant, the founder of Destiny Designers University and the Faithpreneur Movement. Faithpreneurs are faith-based entrepreneurs with a fidelity to God in organizing, managing, and operating their businesses, and or faith-based professionals looking to add another stream of income to their personal economy. I'd like to welcome you to our Faithpreneur VIP Prayer Call podcast. These are weekly recordings of our Saturday fellowship where we've been sharing our prayer requests and praise reports in a safe, loving, and supportive environment for over a decade. Welcome to the family, and I pray that you are encouraged and continue in your faith walk.
Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I hope you can hear me okay. We're here in the Faithpreneur Room, the club, and I hope that you had an amazing week. We are going to get started here today. You know the routine. We are saying where we are calling from, group for where our scripture is. And I'm telling you, this week has been absolutely amazing and exhausting. So hopefully you all had an amazing week as well. So we're going to get started off right now. Dr. Stacy is at a location right now. It's a little noisy, so we're starting off, and she will pop in as soon as the volumes will allow. So I am the Jason Hodge. I am hailing from Tacoma, Washington, and you know my tried and true scripture is Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing. And let me tell you something, that is really unfolding. It continues to unfold every single day. But I am also extremely grateful because I'm seeing in the place that we moved. You know, my boys have made friends with the neighbors, and there's children in the neighborhood that are their age, and they're just really having a ball, and that's just awesome. I think that says something about fellowship and how important it is, how important community is. And that reminds me of, you know, how the word tells us not to forsake the assembling of the believers. Well, I'm seeing how that works, and it turns out that, you know, quite a few of the children are believers as well, so I think that we've kind of landed in, or rather, I think God has placed us in a community where there's a good number of believers. Our neighbors are believers, and apparently the children down the street and their families are believers too, so I'm looking forward to meeting more of the neighbors as things get a little slower here and we get out of more boxes. We're doing that daily. And God is really good. All right, so we're going to pass it on to Dr. Smile, Auntie Roz herself. Roz, how you doing, sis?
Hey. Good morning, y'all. Y'all are loved, appreciated, celebrated, valued, and most cherished. I don't know if Dr. Stacy is in listening range, but this week, y'all, well, really last week, but I've just been holding it. I got an email from Weibo, Jason and Carmen, and I'm on, like, I guess, how do you say the first, the first Zoom, and they have they're using a tool where we get all our homework and everything for 16 weeks. So I'm finally going to have my cart before the horse business that will get legitified. But
congratulations, Roz.
So excited. You know, the owner of Weibo, his son is the interim director, which, you know, that was Stephen Jackson. So when we first started this week, it was a bit emotional, but we shared some stories and some other people that had met by way of Stephen, you know, they're helping, volunteering and all that. So I'm so excited. And it was just good. And, you know, if anyone were able to do it, and if you want to, they said they can still take more folk. Y'all communicate with me. But we know that's one of the resources of how Dr. Stacy started and made sure her business was, how you say, legitimate and, you know, doing things right, you know, understanding and having a community to be able to have as a source to be able, to go to as you're growing your business. So I'm excited. I'm truly, truly excited. It's a lot of homework. It ain't play. But not that I expected that, but it's a lot of homework of people who have done the thing and been doing it for years. Ted, the owner's, the visionary's son, he's done has been an entrepreneur. He started out at 18 and he's been doing entrepreneurship for 45 years. Never had a job, but it's been exciting. It's been good. And I'm looking forward to my 16 weeks and graduation and all of that. And my scripture for today is Psalms 50:15, the Living Bible translation. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble. And the trouble is, I call it the confusion of running a business, right? So I can rescue you and you can give me glory. And I'm just singing out glory because God allowed my path to meet Dr. Stacy's path. And Dr. Stacy, we have our, it's not a running joke. It is the truth that since kindergarten, the things that she is manifesting and into now has always been thought of if we've been around her for so many years. Because we go back to ACN in the 90s and then keep meeting up where we know each other from. But I am so excited. Y'all keep Uncle Vinny in prayer. He lost his brother. And that is his last living sibling. And just keep him in prayer. It's been very interesting and special for him. But I love y'all. So once again, Psalms 50:15 is what I'm saying. And then, oh, wait, this last thing. A lot of the Clubhouse friends and family were here. Darlene, Shanice, Gina, Kathy, some folks that have learned about Faithpreneur Room. Because they come to Trucking God's Way, they're in town, and we got to hang out with Joshua Giles from Mantle this weekend, which was powerful. Many teachers that were there, tons and tons of people. And then today there's a historical football game that goes on at the Cotton Bowl, Prairie View and Grambling. So we're going to go do that and then church tomorrow. I think Shanice is going to be the last one that exits out of Dallas. Even Sonya. Sonya's from Detroit. So we just had an awesome time of relational currency and collaborative intelligence this week. But y'all do continue to keep Uncle Vinny in prayer. If you're friends with him on Facebook, then just give him some love. So I yield the mic. I'm excited for Weibo. I love y'all. Ciao for now.
Good morning, good morning, family. I don't know if you can hear me.
Too, sis.
I sat at the foot.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Big Daddy Kane.
I can hear you.
Eric being Rakim.
Okay. Yes. We can hear you. I can hear you a little bit, sis. Yep.
I was shaking by the flash and the furious vibe.
I am live at the Congressional Black Caucus Day of Healing Prayer Breakfast. And Reverend Howard John Wesley is about to preach. So I know it might not be clear, but I'm going to unplug and just have you all listen to a little bit of his sermon live from the Congressional Black Caucus Annual Legislative Conference. Thank you all for being here in the room as we keep the name of the Lord going. So hold on, and I'll still be here. So this is Reverend Howard John Wesley.
I am a child of hip-hop. I unapologetically love hip-hop music.
But I gotta let you know, I'm not a big fan of this contemporary version. Yeah, well, I guess I'm just getting older because, Monica, I don't know what they're saying. So when I want to listen to hip-hop, I get in my car, turn on Sirius XM Radio, Channel 42. Channel 42, for those who don't listen to Sirius, is LL Cool J's Rock the Bells Radio.
Yeah.
The reason I like Rock the Bells Radio is because LL Cool J, who is a pioneering voice of hip-hop, plays the hip-hop music I like from the 80s and the 90s. If you're ever listening to Rock the Bells Radio on Sirius XM Chat 42, sponsored by LL Cool J, you'll find out that on Thursdays, they have a unique segment called Salute the Sample. Salute the Sample recognizes that sampling is a musical technique that was perfected by hip-hop. Hip-hop has a way of taking a snippet of a beat, a melody, or a vocal from a previously recorded song and incorporating it into a new one. For those in a hip-hop generation like me, you and I know that when Nate Dogg and Warren G taught us about regulators in 1993, they were sampling Michael McDonald's I Keep Forgetting from 1982.
Yeah.
When Dre and Pac reminded us in 95 about California Love, they were sampling a song from 1972 by Joe Cocker called Woman to Woman. When Ice Cube told us it was a good day, if you got any good ears, he was sampling 1977, the Isley Brothers, I Keep Hearing Footsteps.
In the dark.
And the first time we heard Biggie declare, if you don't know, now you know. He was sampling from Entombed's Juicy Fruit. So what they do on Salute the Sample on Thursdays on Rock the Bells Radio, they play a hip-hop song, they identify the sample, and then they play the original sample from the tape it was recorded so you can hear it in the hip-hop song. And LL Cool J said this the last time I was listening. He said, the reason we gotta salute the sample is because y'all need to know where what you're listening to comes from. You need to know that what you are hearing is a song that was recorded in the past. And LL Cool J understood that there's a generation coming who is listening to music and they don't know that what they're hearing is a song from the past. Beloved, that ain't just hip-hop.
All right.
There is a segment of society who is ignorant to the fact that what they are hearing today was recorded yesterday. They cannot recognize the sad sound of the song of supremacy. They don't recognize the contaminated chorus of colonization. They are unfamiliar with the melancholy music of misogyny. They don't recognize the offbeat bass line of bigotry. They are ignorant of the rancid rhythm of racism. And they don't know that what they are hearing today is just a sampling of the sound of the song of supremacy. Maybe some of you are unfamiliar with the sound of the song of supremacy. So let me tell you what the sound of the song of supremacy sounds like. In the first verse, you rewrite history. You ban and you burn books. You deny and you denigrate slavery. You take control of curricula. You attack institutes of higher education. And you threaten museums in the first verse. The chorus of the song is the attack on free speech and a free press. And so you ban reporters from the White House. You try to get Jimmy Kimmel kicked off of television. And you stand against anyone who dares speak against you. In the second verse of the song, you use the false fear of scarcity to demonize, marginalize, and criminalize a group of people that you then present as an unfounded threat against you so that you can pump $75 billion into immigration and custom enforcement while still cutting Medicaid. In the bridge of the song, you use fear to create a military presence, and under the pretense of lowering crime, you send the National Guard into blue cities with black mayors, ignoring that mass shooters come from red states.
Hey, great, great.
You need a martyr for your cause. So you generate while sanitizing vitriolic rhetoric and then launching a threat against historically black colleges and universities. In the hook of the song, you dismantle DEI by endorsing a false narrative of supremacy that suggests your white average is better than my black excellence. And have the audacity to say that Ivy League degree black women lack mental processing power to do what you cannot do because you dropped out of school. You preach and promote a dangerous and distorted theology that masquerades itself as Christianity while ignoring the teachings of Jesus with impunity, replacing the cross with a flag, suggesting the Constitution is the 67th book of the Bible, and dare thinking that God is American. And that song has been sampled over and over and over and over again in the history of this nation. It was recorded by those who went to the shores of Africa and put Africans in chains and held them in dungeons underneath the chapels where they all hypocritically said they worship God. It was sampled again in Manifest Destiny as we came to these shores and wiped out indigenous people. We heard it playing in the background of the Civil War. It was sampled again in the failures of Reconstruction and the birthing of Jim Crow. It was in the background of the lawless lynching of people of color at the turn of the century. We heard it playing in 1921 at the burning down of Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was playing in the car in 1963 when Robert Chambliss and his accomplices drove to the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. It was the soundtrack of this last election. It was the call to worship in that funeral while they read Old Testament. And if you are not careful, and if you never hear truth, and if you're ignorant of history, you may find yourself sing the song not knowing it's a sample of supremacy. You might fool yourself into thinking that wearing the red hat means they've accepted you. You may rob yourself and say the playing field is equal. You may think your degree and your salary gives you some protection against their projected plans. For there is nothing worse than watching a suntanned person in the choir of supremacy humming along and sampling the sound of supremacy. So I came here this Saturday morning. Since I'm not preaching tomorrow, I'm gonna preach today. To let you know that while they're singing that song and sampling that sound, there is another soundtrack I want you to hear. There's another song I want you to hide in your heart and replay and rewind and remember as we walk into the days that are ahead of us. There's another sound I want you to hear. It was recorded by the prophet Jeremiah. And I want you to hear from the prophet Jeremiah, where God says this: I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. I came here on Saturday to tell you God has a plan. This plan that God reveals was first spoken in a few days after 586 BC, when Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians under the leadership of their emperor Nebuchadnezzar, initiating the deportation of thousands of Jews that then had to live for some 70 years in Babylonian exile. Teach the Bible how to jump. And these people in exile are the ones who sat down and wrote Psalm 137. When it said, by the rivers of Babylon, we hung our harps, because there our captors asked us to sing one of those songs of Zion. And we asked the question, how can we sing in a time like this? And so these are the folk that Isaiah was speaking to when he said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And now God has sent the prophet Jeremiah to these people in exile, in Babylon, under Nebuchadnezzar, to tell them, I know it looks bad. I know it feels bad. I know this is not how you thought it would be. But don't forget, I have planned. He says, in exile, I have a plan. Exile, exile, exile. You know exile. Exile is when you find yourself in a place you never thought life would take you. Exile is when you begin to wonder how and why God could let this happen to me. Exile is when you begin to have that if God conversation. If God is as powerful as we say, if God loved me the way you preached it, if God could do anything but fail, why would God allow this to happen to me? You know exile. So you can't figure out why you are where you are. They are not only in exile, they are in Babylon. Babylon is hostile territory. Babylon is when you don't even recognize your own land and you wake up one day and wonder, how did this happen? Babylon is how you feel when you wake up after the election and realize he's back. Babylon is when you feel like you are constantly under attack and you got to defend your identity every single day. Babylon is when you begin to wonder, Lord, when will this be over? And somebody here today, you know Babylon. If your skin is suntanned, you know Babylon. If you are a woman, you know Babylon. If you are queer, you know Babylon. If you make less than $1 million a year, you know Babylon. If English is not your first language, you know Babylon. They're in exile, they're in Babylon, and Kevin, they're under Nebuchadnezzar. Bible readers will know that Nebuchadnezzar is narcissistic. He built statues of himself all around Babylon. He wants everybody to bow down in his presence. He boldly tells you that he hates his opposition and he does not want well for anyone that does not kiss the ring. You know Nebuchadnezzar. He reminds you every day that he's the best emperor Babylon has ever had, and ain't no emperor ever done as much for Babylon as Nebuchadnezzar has, and anything that's wrong in Babylon was Joe's fault.
Oh, Obama, right?
And these people in exile, in Babylon, under Nebuchadnezzar, receive a word they need to hear. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Be of good courage, because in exile, God has a plan. In Babylon, God has a plan. Underneath Nebuchadnezzar, God has a plan. Now, let me tell you why your neighbor ain't turned the plate over and ain't shouted yet. Because you think a plan simply means God's thinking about it. But let me tell you that the declaration of God's plan is an affirmation of God's power. Yeah. That God doesn't just sit idly by and think about what God wants to do, because God ain't never thought about what God wants to do. God does whatever God wants to do, and when God declares, I have a plan, he's saying, I'm still working it out. I'm working it together for your good. I'm preparing a table in the presence of your enemies. I'm taking what was meant for evil and using it to bless you, because God still has power. God says, don't you get it twisted. I'm still on the throne. I'm still the everlasting God. I'm still the creator of heaven and earth. I still have all power in my hand. I'm still God. And I know the plan. Here's the frustrating part. God says, I know it, but you don't. And y'all, the challenge of faith is that every now and then you got to learn to walk with an uncertainty of what God is going to do, still believing that God is going to do. Let me say that again on the Saturday. Faith requires me to walk with an uncertainty of what God will do, but still trusting that God is going to do. I may not know when, I may not know how, I may not know why, but this I still believe, that God is too much God to just sit idly by and allow this world to deteriorate and my life spiral into hell without God stepping in and intervening and doing what God has planned to do. God has a plan. But we don't always know it. Somebody is sitting there on a Saturday morning asking, why come God done tell us what the plan is? Why not reveal when things are going to change? Why not explain how this is working together for good? And here it is. God says, the reason I don't reveal the plan is because I don't want you to have trust in a plan. I want you to have trust in me. And if I told you the plan, you wouldn't believe it if you could. Rabbi, these folk are in exile in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, and they have no way of knowing how they're going to get out. Let me tell you how God brings them out. While they're in exile, God is raising up an emperor over in Persia by the name of Cyrus. Cyrus wins multiple battles, and then it begins to attack the Babylonians. And he defeats the Babylonians and then grants permission for the Jews to return back to Jerusalem. So in order to get them out, God had to raise up an enemy from a foreign nation who came and attacked Nebuchadnezzar and then released them. And God said, now if I told you how I was going to do it, you wouldn't have believed me in the first place. I don't want you to trust the plan. I want you to trust me. Because, beloved, there are realities in God that aren't even possibilities in our imagination. Born, preach that old pastor. There are realities in God that are not possibilities in our imagination. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not entered into your heart what God is able to. Have you ever had God work something out in a way that you never saw God working it out on your behalf? God used people you didn't even know. God opened doors you didn't even see. God made ways you didn't even know. Okay, Imam, I had to take a flight a little while ago, and I mistakenly went to Ronald Reagan when my flight was out of Dulles. I'm officially in a problem. So I ordered an Uber from Reagan to get to Dulles, knowing that I'm already late for my flight. When we get to Dulles, we're about a mile away, and the traffic is backed up. Have you ever been so close to the airport you can see it? And it runs through your mind to just grab your bags out the trunk and OJ your way to the airport? So we're stuck in traffic, and I'm getting agitated because my flight's about to take off. The driver turns and says, when does your flight take off? I said, they're boarding right now. Before Mark, this is what he said to me. He said, do you trust me? I said, I ain't got nothing to lose. We're in traffic. He cuts across the median and does a U-turn. He starts going back away from the airport. He goes to the first exit, gets off at the first exit, drives around the back, comes through the parking garage, drives through the rental car exchange, comes out front, backs up, and I'm right at the gate. I said, man, I didn't know you could go this way. He said, son, I've been doing this a long time. I know every way to get you from where you are to where you need to be. You may not know the way, but I know where I'm going. He says, trust that I know the plan. But to these people, he says to them, if you want to get out of this, You've got to learn to seek me.
Yes. Amen.
Seek my face.
Your problem is you've been trying so hard to figure a way out that you forgot how much you need me.
Amen.
And could it be that my problem, your problem, our problem as a people and a nation is that we've strayed so far from the Lord? And exile is a call for God's people to return to God. Babylon is a reminder that you can't live life by yourself. Nebuchadnezzar is meant to teach you the words of Psalm 20. Some trust in chariots, and some trust in horses, but we put our trust in the God of our salvation. It is a reminder that you need God. We can't win this without the Lord.
Amen.
We can't navigate through it without God. We can't survive it without the Lord, but with God on our side. I gotta leave you. My church knows this. My son recently transferred to Hampton University. And before he made his way to his new home by the sea, I sat him down because he's going to an HBCU. And I know I need to teach you some things before you step on that campus. If you're going to Hampton and you're going to a historically black college, I said to him, I need to teach you how to play spades. You cannot go to Hampton with the name Howard John Wesley. You don't know how to play spades. So I sat him down. I want to teach him the rules of the game and how to play the game, how to talk trash in the game, how to intimidate your opponent in the game when you take the card and stick it on your forehead. That's it, because I'm teaching him how to play the game. I get to the lesson where he's got to learn how to count his books. You got to know how to count your books so you don't get set and you don't sandbag. My apologies if you don't play spades. So I'm trying to teach him how to count his books. So I dealt him a bad hand on purpose. I want to make sure he knows how to count his books. So I dealt him a hand, and in spades language, he's bleeding. He's got all red cards. I made sure he had no aces, no kings, and no queens. And the only spade he had was a three. I had to make certain he could count his books. So I dealt him a bad hand. No aces, no kings, no queens, and the only spade he had was a three. I'm trying to talk y'all something. I dealt him a bad hand. He didn't have no aces, he didn't have no kings, he didn't have no queens, and the only spade he had was a three. He looks at his hand and he throws the cards down and says, I quit. I said, son, I've got to teach you a valuable lesson. When you've been dealt a bad hand, you don't quit if you know you got a good partner.
because I'm going to delete the video because it's 30 minutes.
Okay.
And I can just
good
say
good morning.
Okay. You have WhatsApp?
Okay. Oh, my. Okay, Faith and Noah family, I hope you enjoyed that live excerpt from the Congressional Black Caucus. I hope you were able to hear Howard John Wesley and that amazing word that he gave and that you were encouraged by it. When you got a partner like D. Jason Hodge, I don't know if you're in the vortex or not. Going to mic check and
in. Let me know if you can hear me.
Okay, I can hear you now. I'm going to turn it back over to you because we are still in praise mode from that word. My God, today he preached the paint off the wall. I thank God for the word that came forth. It is just the Spirit of God is moving in this place. But I am going to mute because we're going back into program. But I hope that blessed you all. Continue to stand in faith. Know that God has a plan no matter what we're facing or what we're going through. God is in control. Nobody can even speak to close out the program. But I just bless God for strength and covering. And I will definitely be here as long as I can listening in, but we're doing a praise break right now. So back over to you, Jason. Love you all.
Love you too, sis. Well, we are like God. Okay, I think that's something we can all remember, no matter what's going on, when God is our partner, we don't throw in the towel. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. That applies to everything in life. All right, so we are now at Sister Carmen. Carmen Wealth herself. Mike is yours, sis.
Well, I am en route to be at my destination. I'm speaking this morning here in Houston, Texas, for the first time in probably five months. We got down this morning to 68 degrees, but we'll expect it to be in the 90s in a few hours. But it feels good. No humidity when there's no humidity, which is usually only 2 days of the year. It feels really beautiful here. But I am headed to the Uplift Her, which is a Black Woman's Wellness Day. I will be on stage with some of the baddest Black queens in the city this morning. So I'm excited about that. I've been supporting this endeavor. This is I believe our third or fourth year. I'm losing count, but it's all about to be a powerful, strong Black woman. And so with that being said, if Dr. Smile, are you still there? May have, if she's not, I'm going to ask someone that's on the stage because I'm driving. My read it all is Proverbs 31. And the reason why I want that scripture for today, not only am I a Proverbs 31 woman, but I'm going to be around hundreds of other Proverbs 31 women this morning. So if someone, Jason, you were breaking up a lot.
Okay. You know, I keep on getting the red. Yeah, I keep on getting the red bar. So, let me know if you could hear me.
Okay, maybe it's me. Is it me?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Let me know, y'all, if you can hear me or if I'm breaking up on your end too.
Yeah, Jason, this is Darren. You weren't breaking up, not a whole lot, but,
could you hear me? Darren, could you hear me?
I can hear you, State. I can hear you, Carmen.
I need, if Dr. Smile's not there, Mother Gwen, could you read Proverbs 31 for me? Okay, no one. Jason?
Okay, well, the words of the King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her house her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it. She delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Thank you, Jason. I think you're at the end. I really appreciate you reading clear. That.
Okay, good deal.
It was clear. It was clear. Thank you so much. It was perfect timing because I'm pulling into the parking lot of where I'll be speaking. But I get excited every time I read that passage because, you know, I tell myself, and I know I am that person, a woman of wisdom, a woman of charity, a hardworking businesswoman that puts it down no matter where she goes, when she went in the marketplace, in the home, in the community. And I'm just so excited this morning to be here at Uplift Her to celebrate strong Black women in our community. And that poem describes a virtuous woman of valor and strength. She's a model of wisdom in her industry, and she's philanthropic, and not just in the home, but also in her community. And so that's what this event today is about. It's about strong, powerful Black women who give back, and I'm glad to be in that number. So as I'm pulling into the park, y'all, I love y'all. Pray for me that when I get on stage, y'all know I'm going to put it down, but pray for me anyway. So my topic is, of course, I'm sure you know what my topic is. It's always about money and business. So I'll be talking about creating wealth and business entrepreneurship. Love y'all. I'll see you next week.
Love you too, sis. Awesome. All right. And we've got, let me PTR real quick, make sure I got the order right. Okay, we've got Brother Darren. Brother Darren, mic is yours.
Great morning, family. This is Darren Smith, Baltimore, Maryland. Grateful for life, God in my life, my family, friends, colleagues, associates, extended families, especially this one. for good health and strength, a place to call home, so food to eat, clothes I could wear, what's that word I'm looking for? A job, well, not, anyway, a job, a source of income. And this week we were talking, Bible study, we were talking about, give me a second, trusting God in every storm of life. Oops. We're talking, you know, kind of what the speech that Reverend Howard John Wesley was saying, we, no matter what, we got to trust God in everything, because he knows, like he said, the plans that he has for us, which are all good, to prosper us, you know, the whole, I won't say the whole verse, but we just heard it. So, and see, just, and again, you know, well, I'll read, you know, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Everybody, that's a very familiar scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And which brings me to my favorite scripture, which is John 16, 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. But in the world you will have tribulations, but you be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So, but I really enjoyed that about Dr. John Wesley, because I know Howard John Wesley. I follow him on Instagram, and I was cool with all listening. And I do play spades, one of my favorite games. So I got a you know, some, you know, enjoyment out of it. That was pretty cool. And before I forget, I'm gonna ask a prayer for one of our long standing members at our church, Gloria. Last name is Jiggins, J-I-G-G-E-T-T-S. She's been, well, she, now I've been here about, actually this month, been 20 years for me. I've been in Baltimore. I'm quite sure they, you know, her and her husband, they were here, you know, probably long before me. So, you know, again, they're one of our longstanding members, and she, matter of fact, passed last week, so I want to keep her and the family in prayer. But you know, I always, you know, enjoy when I come up. But I know I have a meeting next Saturday. That's one of the reasons why I always try to come up when I can. I might be able to come up next week, but I have a meeting, so might not be able to participate. So, you know, I always try to, you know, join in when I can. But that was really good by Reverend Wesley. That was quite entertaining in a good way. So I got a couple things I need to get ready to do. But love you guys, and I'll see you hopefully next week. Love you.
All right, and you said it's Sister Gloria who needs prayer?
Yeah, Gloria, last name is Jiggins, J-I-G-G-E-T-T-S, Jiggins. Yeah, for Jiggins, Gloria.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Sister Jiggins. Gwen, would you like to lead the prayer for Gloria Jiggins?
Father God, you said that if we pray in the name of Jesus and believe, absence of offense or unforgiveness, that you will hear us and manifest it. And you are still the God of the I am who is the healer. And Gloria needs that right now, Father. By your stripes may she be healed. That's the benefit of the believer. So we just thank you right now. And those also who may be suffering from any aspects from an attack, spirit of infirmity, we just thank you. Be healed and walk in your healing. And Father, we thank you for manifesting it in an expeditious way. We thank you in advance because we know that you can't lie and you won't fail. And you said we can send the word to them, even in another geographical place, and they will be healed. We stand together collectively in faith. One can put 1,000, two can put 10,000, but we're multiplied greater here. We believe, we expect, we thank you for the manifestation of healing in Gloria's body and all of those who are here in listening, even in the replay that says, Lord, heal me. I will be healed. We thank you for that and the privilege to pray it and the faith to believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. And Sister Gwen,
thank you.
Thank you. Is yours. So you're next one up, Sister Gwen. So.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What you're grateful for, where you're hailing from. Yeah.
I wanted to thank, I'm from calling in from Los Angeles, California. And I wanted to just thank Dr. Stacy, and I was just so excited that we could hear audibly and clearly. And I have been a fan of the Congressional Black Caucus meetings, and it just put a long in my heart. I said, next year, if the Lord allows me, because, you know, we can say tomorrow, but God holds the day. And we can ask him and thank him for possibly tomorrow, but it's not promised. But I would like everybody right now to take a minute to save the replay, because we got some jewels today, didn't we, Jason? And I just don't want us to lose that. Just take a second right now and save the replay, because I believe God is speaking to us.
Look, if nothing else but for the... Yeah, if nothing else for that wrap up about when God is your partner. I mean, that right there was
your
like
partner,
the goal and everything.
Whatever hand is dealt to you. And so that's why Psalms 34 for me is, I will bless the Lord at all times. My praise will continuously be in my mouth. And that's what God is saying to us, that not to look at our circumstances, truly to consider them, and because we're affected by them, but to look to the author and finisher of our faith. And that's what I'm taking away from today, and just hopefully planning to everyone, that God is saying that it is at such a time like this, particularly, this is when he separates those who believe and those who really have faith. It's one thing to say it, it's another thing to walk it. But like you just said, Jason, is know your partner. Not to disregard the hand, but know your partner.
Right.
Because he said he'll deliver us from them all. So God bless everybody. And I just speak peace over us, but also that peace that we have to fight for. He says, my peace I give to you all. But we have to, how do we get it? By keeping our minds stayed on Jesus, but also guarding your eye gates, your ear gates, and what you allow to come into your body. In any kind of way, God has given us a template of how we can keep his peace in unpeaceful times. Thank you.
We got Sister Raquel in the house. Mike is yours, sis.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday. Oh, it's a great day to be alive. And I am healing in from Atlanta, Georgia. And today, the scripture that is in my spirit is one that we're all familiar with. It's Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. And that's kind of in line with what we heard in the live snippet about God being our partner and trusting him and seeking him first. And there is also a song in my spirit today. And I think it also kind of goes in line with this as well, entitled Trust in God by Elevation Worship. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust in, that's why I trust in. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust in, that's why I trust in God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Absolutely appropriate.
Glory to God.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Father. Open your mics and praise his name. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 God the Lord. And he
thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord.
Lord.
God be the glory. Yes, bless us, Lord. Right now, Lord, let us just be open to receive your grace, your mercy, but your steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Lord, we thank you, Father, that we can pour out and just let the calves of our lips just bless you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Glory be to his name. Mm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory be to his name.
Hallelujah.
You know, Jason, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, don't rush me. Let me linger and let like the perfume of a scent that is enticing, just stay with you. And in our Martha periods, we kind of rush God. And right now, I just believe it's that time of just the aha breath of God right now, just saying, just stay here with me for a minute. Just stay right here with me for a minute. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breath of life, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, have your way. Heal our hearts, mend them today. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breath of life, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, have your way. Bend our hearts, heal them today. Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Glory be to your name. Well, God is good. All right, Brother Ernest, mic is yours.
Thank you.
can. All you've got to do is press the mic at the bottom right-hand corner of your screen, and it should unmute you. All right, and while we're here, for those of you who have not yet popped over to the resource page, you can do that by popping up on the top of the page. Here it's faithpreneur.me. And it's not working. Okay, you may have to pop out and pop back in, brother. And that way it may help you reset your mic. But you can go to faithpreneur.me and check out the resources on the page, interact with it. And let us know what you'd like to see as far as a resource. What are the needs that you are moving through that would be helpful for us to have on the page? All right, so faithpreneur.me. For those who are listening on the replay and can't click the button at the top of the room, and for those who are in the room, you can click it. And where it says go to link, you just go on over to the link and you'll be able to see the resource page. Meanwhile, while we're waiting for Ernest to pop back on in, earlier this week, I was watching this video. It came up on my feed, and I thought, wow, this is such a great and practical video. And it's called Big Grammar. And if you've not checked it out, you can look at it from the side of the room here in the chat area. I pinned the link. It is a YouTube video. But I'll tell you the story, because I think that it applies in so many areas of our lives. I know that I can relate to it in a number of ways. I've been both on the receiving end and giving end of that big grammar situation. And it really comes down to misunderstandings. Here it is, this lady who was given the message here. She said that her mom, there was a lady at her church where they had not talked in 17 years. And the mom, you know, reached out and all that. The lady just would go the other way when she would see her. You know, of course, this is my take on it, my paraphrase. When you look at the video, you'll probably say, Jason, none of that happened. But I'm going to preserve the gist of the talk, though. So here it is, her mom, you know, is now reaching out to this lady. The lady is just kind of ghosting her. She's going the other way. She's not having any words for the mom. 17 years this went on. And so they were trying to figure out, okay, what happened? So it came out 17 years later that, you know, her mother was a journalist, you know, researcher, the whole deal. So she uses big grammar, big words. She uses words that maybe the average person does not pick up on, or maybe doesn't know why those words were used. And so when it is that you're using big grammar, for those who are hearing the big grammar, not to make the assumption, understand the context or the motive behind the words that were used. And for the people who are using the big grammar, not to forget that you may be using words that the people that you're talking to don't understand and can then possibly misconstrue or misinterpret what your meaning is. And so here it is. Her mother was on one of the committees, and this lady that did not talk to her for 17 years, she was a member of the meetings and all of that. And one day, and she had never missed a meeting, and one day she wasn't at the meeting. So the mother wrote down in the minutes, she was the secretary, what have you, she took the minutes, and she said that the lady was conspicuously absent from the meeting. Now, when the word got back to the lady that she was conspicuously absent from the meeting, she took offense to it. big offense. 17 years, did not talk to this woman. How dare she say I was conspicuously absent from the meeting? Who does she think she is? You know, I go to these meetings all the time, and now I'm there, and I'm conspicuously absent. So the woman went off, right, in her mind and whatnot, and then had this grudge against the mother all this time. And finally, when it came out that she had been holding on to this thing because of the insult that the mother gave her by saying that she was conspicuously absent from the meeting, that came out. And then the mom was like, wait a minute, I don't understand. What's the problem with that? You know, here it is. This woman has been at all these meetings, and now she wasn't there. It was conspicuous. What she meant was, hey, this is concerning because she's never missed a meeting. This is conspicuous. We need to research, make sure everything's okay. Why isn't she at meetings? She never misses a meeting. Now, because she didn't understand the grammar, the lady who she was referencing, she didn't understand the grammar, so she immediately took it as insult. Her perspective was that this woman was insulting her and behind her back because she wasn't at the meeting, so she takes this time to now say that she was conspicuously absent. How dare she do this? But what she was saying was to the board, hey, we need to check on Sister so-and-so because it's not normal that she's absent. Let's make sure that she's okay. This is conspicuous. We need to make sure that there's nothing wrong with her. Somebody go see about her. So here it is. One woman's intention was to see about sister who was never absent. The sister, not understanding the big grammar, took it as she's now insulting her in her absence, behind her back. So for 17 years, almost a whole generation, this woman avoided talking to this woman because she was offended, deeply offended by what she thought that she meant. She didn't take the time to go and say, hey, that really hurt my feelings when you said I was conspicuously absent. Why would you say something like that? To get clarity on what the intention was. So I thought, wow, that's really good, because it is quite easy to take offense. And that's an intentional way of saying that, to take offense. That was a choice to be offended by that instead of getting clarity. We don't always go and see clarity on those things that offend us. And if we were to go seek clarity, we may find that more often than not, there's no ill intent involved. It is the way that they use words. It is the way that they format their sentences or their thoughts. And if we just clear it up, if we have an offense on something or offended, just say, hey, you know what? I don't understand what you meant by that, or what did you mean by that? So that way we can hear it from the proverbial horse's mouth. This is what I meant, for us to say, oh, I thought that it meant this, or I thought that it was a negative. Turns out that it's not a negative or a positive. It's the way that you form your word. It's how you use your big grammar. So take a listen to that video. I think that we can all get something out. If not, we probably know somebody who can and can share that over. But here it is, all those years wasted, a relationship that could have continued to grow strong, and it was stunted because of a misunderstanding that the lady did not seek to get clarity on. Who can relate to that? All right.
You know, so, Jason,
oh, for those of you, go ahead, Sister Gwen.
God has given us just ways and means, right? He says, if you are offended, he didn't say who did it, but when and if you are offended, because offenses shall come, okay? Go to the one that offended you. And if that had simply been done, and, you know, we just need to do the word. That's all I got to say. Just do the word. It'll be better for us.
Okay, I was hearing I keep on getting the red bar, so I don't know if it was me, but I could barely hear what you were saying, Sister Grant.
Oh, I was saying that.
I think you were saying something about how the word says, if you're offended.
I was saying, can you hear me now? I don't know if people can hear, but I was saying the word principle would have negated all of that wasted time of holding offenses. He said, when and if you are offended, because offenses shall come, you can count on it. Go, you know, and we just need to do the word. And a lot of times it'll make it much more pleasant for our life. Just doing the word when we're offended, we go get that thing straight. So thank you for that story, because how many of us are holding offense from something that we didn't deal with biblically that God said would resolve it? Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Sister Gwen. All right. I think I saw Dr. Stacy's mic unmute. And maybe that was just me. All right. So let's see if Ernest, are you available to speak, brother? Let's see if your mic is working. Let us know if it's not. Just let us know in the chat. And if it's not, you could also type in your chat and then we can read it for you for the room to listen at what you want to say.
Can I also highlight that sometimes the microphone by our icon looks like it could be the one that's unmuting when in fact it's the one at the bottom right of the screen. So I just wanted to highlight that for him.
Oh, yeah, that might be an Android thing. Yeah.
So what are you trying to say, Jason? Explain yourself.
Now, don't get offended. Remember, talk to me about it later. That was my big grammar right there.
That's not getting it. That's all done, okay?
She was right.
Right.
It is. I think you found it.
Okay, look. Ernest unmuted.
She was right.
I'm just saying that she was right. He must be an Android user.
Stop it right now.
Okay, go ahead.
It was a blessing hearing everything that was said, and the one thing that stood out for me today was trust God. And I just had a thought, and it was like saying to myself as well as everyone, how much do we trust God? What do we put our trust factor in? Have your trust factor been tested? Have your if you offend man, you'll be put in the fiery furnace test. Has that ever came in your life? If the government put out a decree that if you praise another god other than the leader of that country, you would be reprimanded or executed, or whatever have you. Will you trust God enough to say, "Is God? He's the one I'm going to put my trust in, and not in the system or not in the man." Have our faith ever been tested to the point that we have we put our trust in God to that point, or will you fail that test, or will you say, will you fall on knees when faced with that test, or will you say, no, it's God or nothing, or will you say, it's God way or it's nowhere at all, I am checking out, because I know when I check out, God is waiting on me, he's there for me more than this world is for me. Hallelujah. So where are we at in our faith and our plans and trusting God's plan? Where are we? We all faced with different situations in our lives. We all faced with different circumstances in our life. Have we ever buckled to that thing that's causing us not to put our trust wholly and truthfully in God? You my mic. God bless everyone.
God bless, brother. God bless. All right. Well, if nobody else is popping up on stage, then I think it's that time that we bring the room to a close.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brother Darren.
I just thought about something, Dr. Stacey. Most of us who have been on the business.
Hello. You still there? Uh-oh. Can y'all hear me?
Yep, we're here. Yeah, we can hear you.
Uh-oh. Did I interrupt somebody?
Darren was talking, sis. But...
Oh, sorry, Daryl. I'm getting a little feedback where I am, so my apologies. Keep going, Darren.
No, actually, you're right on time as usual, because I was about to say, because like Brother Ernest was just saying about, you know, how we... about, you know, trust is a big thing with God. And I was about to say, what you always say, trust, faith that cannot be trusted, faith that can't be tested cannot be trusted. So I just remember what you said that, and I just wanted to bring that in. I'm just saying.
Amen. You preaching today. Well, I thank you all for being in the room and being in the fellowship. I know we did a little different today with a live excerpt from the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation Annual Legislative Conference. This is our Day of Healing. It's the prayer breakfast that happens the Saturday of the Black Caucus every year in Washington, D.C. And even though I couldn't be live in the room, being here in this fellowship and amongst my colleagues in government and national leaders, it truly filled my spirit today just to hear Reverend Howard John Wesley give that good word and just remind us when we partner with God, we always can bet on the outcome or know the outcome because God is in control and he has the plan. So, my brother, are we closing out the room now?
We are. And I love the bow that he put on it because that's something we can apply to every aspect of our life. How are we having God as a partner in everything that we do, all of our thoughts, all of our words? I mean, everything. That's a perspective.
Absolutely. And at times like this, when I am able to give you access to where I am, that's always just an added bonus of the blessing and the favor of God. So I don't take it lightly, and I thank you for each and every one of you. And just, I'll close us out in prayer if we are ending, as we do know we have Sunday Joy tomorrow. And we'll be trying to get some content from here to share with all of you as well. So I will close us on out, and thank you for posting the resource page as always, so that everyone can connect. So Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for another day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the blessing of our breath in our bodies that you give us to breathe in and to have use of our limbs. So Father, as we've come into this space to hold up your name, the bloodstained banner, to give glory, honor, and praise to you for all you continue to do in our lives. We thank you for seeing past our faults, for seeing our needs, for forgiving us for anything we've done outside your will and your way. Thank you for these 10 days of awe. Lord, even as the Hebraic calendar has started this new year, that we hold on to the blessings and the promises that you have given us, that you have the plan, you know the plan, and our job is to build a relationship with you so you can reveal that plan to us. So as we move through the close of this week and the beginning of a new week tomorrow, we just ask you to go ahead of us, put each piece of the puzzle in its place, be with those who are crying out for healing, be with those who are bereaved, give them the peace that only you can provide, be with those in need a financial blessing. Lord, help us to declare your word. You made us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, that you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we stand on your word. We stand on your promises. Let us see your manifested glory in each and every one of our lives so that others may know that our God is still in control. So we just bless you for DJ St. Hodge and for Clubhouse Auntie Roz and all of Carmen and Mother Gwen and Darren, Raquel, Ernest, everyone who's been in the room today, Lord. Sister Lynette, Katie, Josie, Shanice, Tanika, R.A., Gayla, Blake, Annette, Robin, namesake, Kimberly, Rob, another Robin, Jeffrey, Paul, as I look down at these names, Lord, bless them, bless their households, bless their going and their coming. Lord, we just thank you for anyone who just happened on this room, that they may hear something that witnesses to them, that they might know that you are the truth and living God. So we just give your name all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. You march forward in victory. We may not know what your plan is, but you reveal it to us, and we trust you even when we feel like we can't trace you in the moment, because we have partnered with you and our life is in your hands. So all these blessings we ask in the matchless in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, family. Amen. Well, be encouraged. God bless you all. And we will gather again to give God glory in the best month of the year. It's about to go down. Libras, turn on. Oh, it's going to be on. I have a board meeting that day and a gala, so I'm not sure how my access will be, but I will be turning up for the entire month. You can bet on that for sure. So happy birthday to everyone celebrating birthdays. The season has begun. Pray my strength, pray for my family, and pray for my safe traveling journeys as I go to and fro. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye, family.
Nice. Love you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Faithpreneur VIP Prayer Call Podcast. We hope that you continue to listen and share this with anyone you think would be blessed by the fellowship. Sign up to participate on our live Saturday calls at www.vipprayercall.com. That's vipprayercall.com. This is Dr. Stacy signing off, and I hope to connect with you again soon. Bye for now.